Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 2nd to 22nd, 2017 in communities across Canada. The RVF series, which showcases the diversity, duality, and dynamism of Canada's francophone communities, is brought to you by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and this station. Please stay tuned for the next half hour for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. Visit ncra.ca/RVF for more information on the series.
Toronto is widely considered to be one of the most multicultural cities in Canada, even North America. You can't go a couple blocks without passing by a new and different cultural neighborhood, and the city is all the better for it. But an important piece of Canada's cultural heritage seems to be missing, the Francophone communities. Many Torontonians wouldn't even know they were here. But immigration is giving a new life and meaning to French communities in the city, and you can't miss them. Hello, bonjour, you're listening to CGRU 1280 AM in Toronto in partnership with Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. I'm Jacob Dubé, and for Canada's 150th anniversary, I'm going to look into why French-speaking new Canadians are moving to Toronto, how they integrate, and make it feel like home. Restez à l'écoute. Once the newly minted Francophone Canadians arrive, the real work begins. They have to deal with finding good housing, a job, a school for their kids, and a million other things that can overwhelm them fast. Le Centre Francophone de Toronto aims to help with that. The center aims to help French Torontonians find the resources they need and connect with their communities. Aline Hélène Merlette was an orchestra conductor in the USSR before moving to Canada, and she's now the coordinator of the center's orientation programs. The goal of their department is to provide information and help new citizens settle into the city.
Why do we need the programs that Centre Franco offers?
It's a unilingual English-speaking province officially, and we have only not even 5% of population French-speaking. So it means that we are really into the minority. One of the principal reasons for French speakers to come to Toronto is to become bilingual and to get their children to learn and to speak English and to become bilingual at least. So every family has its own balance, its own harmony inside. So when we're trying to not to get too much of the delicate fabric of a family relationship mixed with culture and religion too, but still helping them to improve their integration skills. It's very important because if they get into the cultural shock too much, it's going to reflect on success of kids in school, success of parents, maybe also in school, in choosing their profession and in the job market too. It's a whole area of the person, the personality, and then the family. That sort of, I don't like the word treatment. We are helping them, just guiding them. It's their own integration process. We're not doing anything for them. Like when we help them to find housing, we do provide a lot of information that I might not know. There are a lot of clients that I see, they get into their little communities and then unfortunately they get crooked by their own community because they don't know the prices, and then like for a couple of months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, they're paying too much money.
It's like people know that they don't know, so...
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. So they do get the sense of being dealing with someone dishonest, right? Even from your own country. We explain to our clients that what they need the valuable information and a professional advice. And sometimes legal advice, that's why we have legal clinic here.
One thing Aline and her department tries to accomplish is to keep the families together. When new families get to Toronto, the children pick up English pretty quickly. The parents, not so much. This can create a barrier between families. The center, through their community connection programs, helps tie them back together. They have annual field trips across the province, including a trip to Barrie in the winter so that families can experience and enjoy snow for the first time.
So my question was that you keep mentioning like that there's a culture shock, right? So how much of that culture shock is because of the fact that they're like French speaking?
First shock comes when they come to Pearson Airport, thinking that this is bilingual country and they will get serviced automatically in French, which is not always true. They might not know that they need to ask to be served in French, especially in Ontario and in Toronto. Now, maybe I think with the system changing, the immigration system changing, right, they might get more information about how it's really here, right? But still, for some reason, we still get a lot of clients with a cultural shock from the very start. They come here and they had a really different perception of things, right? Especially, I would say, suffering families and clients, those who had some kind of expectations much higher up, or they thought that would be easier to integrate into the life here. Thinking this, that Toronto is the same bilingual as any other city, right? They come in Toronto and they don't hear French language on the street.
People think of Canada as bilingual because that's what we talk about, but you get here and it's not
like
true.
You get into the TTC and they expect everybody speaks French, and this is not true. But still, it's possible to overcome with the right information and with the right hands. It's not the problem. You will go to the integration, like fruitful integration, if you get on track, if you get guided by someone who knows the system, who has a lot of experience, and our workers, they do have a lot of experience.
And where do these newcomers end up? It's hard to say. Integration is a long process, and it's hard to determine when it's complete. But they carve out a little place for themselves in the city, and no matter how they get there, they make it work.
They evaluate the integration. How do you evaluate, right? Mm-hmm. When does it stop? It doesn't stop. You will always learn something new every day. At some point, you will just understand that you're not getting more than any other person born here. Because any other person even born here, what are we, really integrated? We grow up, we go to school, we need to go to whether job market, college, or it's also sort of integration, it's just without moving into another country.
Once a Francophone is settled in, how can they find and connect with their community? That's where l'Alliance Française comes in. Founded in 1883 by Jules Verne, Louis Pasteur, and Ferdinand Lesseps, the organization manages Francophone cultural events, workshops, and even language classes. The Toronto branch was founded in 1902. Thierry Lessard, the executive director, says it's one of the oldest Francophone institutions in the city, if not the entire country. I spoke to Lessard about the various French cultures and how the Alliance manages them. Toronto's such a diverse place, but it's still interesting to think of it as a place that also has such a large Francophone population.
The Alliance Française is a very inclusive place. Everyone will find this place. Starting with my staff, I have 38 nationalities of origin at the Alliance Française. Everyone is Canadian, of course, but 38 nationalities of origin. So I just think it's amazing. It's like the Babel Tower.
And why do you think so many French-speaking people moved to Toronto?
Speaking French in Ontario and in Toronto, it's an amazing asset. And you know, there is a lot of French people or Francophone people coming from Switzerland, from Morocco, from France, and their first idea is, okay, let's go to Quebec. But what is your added value in Quebec? I mean, everyone speaks French around you. So, I mean, if you pick another language, like you speak Arabic, okay, that's something that you bring. But French, not really. Here in Toronto, I think it's a great asset. For me, an anglophone, c'est un francophone qui s'ignore. So that can translate by an anglophone is a francophone that doesn't know yet he is. Everyone has that in the back of their head. You know, they take some French classes, you know. And, yeah, we just need to seduce them and to say, hey, you need to learn. Another big thing is the immigration. People that come to Canada and to Ontario believe in the bilingualism, or even sometimes in the trilingualism. We have a campus in Markham where 95 or 98% of the students are from China. And it's always impressive to listen to the mother saying to their kids, if you want to be prime minister, you have to learn French. And they don't, I mean, the mother doesn't even speak English nor French, but she understands, they understand, like, the value of bilingualism in Canada.
So what's the Francophone population in Toronto like? Is it one big unified group, or is it a bunch of small groups separated over cultures and religions?
I would say it's a bunch of small things that become big. You know, when you put them all together, yeah, I really believe in it. And it's what we love to do at the Alliance. So, yeah, that's true. We are big. We have 130 cultural events every year. But we have also many renting out and many partnership with different organizations.
So Toronto has several French cultures. But one of the reasons that they might not be as visible is because the city doesn't have a French neighborhood, a place that is undeniably French. Lassard says that minus the French Quarter in New Orleans, no city in North America has one.
Probably because the immigration of French people was very long in the time. It was not like one shot like the Portuguese or the Chinese. So they never created a neighborhood. That's the first reason. And the second reason, it was coming from so many different countries. So yeah, that's why we don't have like a Francophone or even a French neighborhood.
So how do all these really small French communities in Toronto come together?
Yeah, so, you know, everything is about network. It was really one of my big challenge when I arrived in Canada 4 years ago, to know the people and to make sure that the people know us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, by doing that, you create the relationship that allow the events to happen.
When you came to Toronto 4 years ago, what was your first impression of the city?
It was an amazing impression. Just for the record, actually, I spent 8 years in New York before to go back to Paris for almost 3 years and coming here. And, you know, everyone was saying, oh, you will see Toronto is like the northern sister of New York. And one of the first things I discovered, it's not true. Toronto has its own personality. And personally, I prefer 100 times Toronto than New York, because for me it's a true city. I mean, don't take me wrong, I love New York.
Yeah.
But living in Toronto, you get really the vibe of something totally different. It's a very, very charming and hidden city. You have to know it from the inside. You have to discover it. You have to dig. It's not like into your face. That diversity in Toronto was just an amazing thing for me.
And what did you notice about its Francophone community?
That, unfortunately, the Francophone community were not working together. 4 years later, I think it's a little better. I think Alliance Française did his part on it. So if we want to make the things happen, it's not about demanding, it's about doing. So what do we do to help our communities? What do we do to include ourselves in the global community of Toronto?
Okay, so the problem initially was that there were so many little communities, but they weren't really...
In that field, you know, of education and culture, I try to bring all the communities together. Sometimes it's not that easy. Mm-hmm. But what I see, there is a wish, and it's working well.
Ontario has the largest Francophone population in Canada outside of Quebec, with immigrants mainly coming from France, Haiti, and Congo, among others. Between 2011 and 2015, 78.5% of those Francophones chose Toronto as their preferred destination over cities like Ottawa and Hamilton. Marie-France Lalonde is the Ontario Minister of Francophone Affairs. Since her appointment in 2014, she's been campaigning for an increase in Francophone immigrants in the province. I spoke to her about what the government is doing to bring in those new Canadians and what they might need some more work on. So it's surprising to me that so many new Canadians choose to come to Toronto, even though it's really not considered a very Francophone place.
No, and that's still, I guess, the main area of concerns, where a lot of people don't realize how much growth there is in Toronto for our Francophone community. And I think the entire nation and international don't see. Sometimes even Ontario has an environment where you can speak French. So we have a lot of work to do.
Do you know why this is happening? Do you know why they're choosing to come down here?
Well, we would say those are growth area for job opportunity. So when you look at how well Toronto is doing from giving access and employment, you understand why someone would choose to go to Toronto. Also, the innovation, IT, you know, so that also has a way of attracting individuals to the Great Toronto area. And it will be followed by Ottawa and Hamilton, who are following suit for jobs. Also probably, you know, maybe family. There is an aspect where sometimes it's about individual that they would know or a family reunion, and that's also very important as a decision maker as to where we establish ourselves.
Is there any difficulty, any troubles they have trying to get in here?
I guess over the last few years, Ontario committed to a 5% of Francophone immigration. And we've done numerous work to address how to obtain and attain that 5%. We have organization, also great organization, that are supporting Canadians in the Toronto area. So you have La Passerelle IDE, you have Le Centre Francophone. Those are organizations in Toronto that would help the integration, helping with employment, finding employment, supporting our new Canadians to find schools in French, have access to French service throughout the healthcare process. So, for instance, La Passerelle has a satellite in Scarborough. We were there visiting, but we also had a chance to see a health center named Tabou, and they have a very strong Afro-Caribbean community in the Scarborough area, and they do speak French, and they are helping not only from a healthcare perspective, but also that integration and helping, supporting, you know, our new French Canadian in Ontario.
Could you give me some more info on what you guys are doing to bring in that like 5% Francophone immigrants? Is there any plans internationally for that?
There's a few things. So I'll start from the beginning. We did a bill on immigration in Ontario, and we particularly made sure we made a reference to the importance for our Franco-Ontarians, for our community, to attract French immigration. We are now a member, an observer status member, at the International Organization of Francophonie, where we're also sharing to the world that we speak French and we are looking for French immigrants in Ontario. We also need to partner and work very closely when it comes to immigration with our federal partner. For the first time in the history of Canada, in 150 years, the Minister of Immigration and the Minister of Francophonie met in Moncton last March. We also committed that within the next 12 months, we would work collaboratively among ourselves to promote Francophone immigration. And for us in Ontario, we need to make sure that that voice is clear and loud at our federal level, where they will understand that we are very serious. And we want to work with our federal partner, but at the same time, internally, we need to do our own work.
And so you're saying that the Minister of Francophonie had never met with the Minister of Immigration?
It was what they call a federal, provincial, territorial meeting, where the Francophone Minister and the Immigration Minister of all the provinces and our federal counterpart all sat down and we looked at issues. So we all presented on our reality and where we feel that either among ourselves or through the federal partnership, we can do better. And particularly for Ontario, like us, we have made a commitment of a 5%. So this was a very important first step for us in Ontario.
There are so many different cultures and communities that are Francophone, right? And so is it hard to manage them all?
Ontario is very proud, and our government is very proud of our diversity. And the diversity have a different accent, you know? And that's the beauty and our strength from an economic perspective. So for us, it's more to ensure that every Francophone immigrants have the ability to know about resources in their community, school, culture, healthcare, all what the province could help and promote to that individual. And then we work closely, as I say, with our city to ensure that from a city perspective, they are able to support our Francophone immigrants very well.
Do you have a personal goal in terms of those things?
Well, we committed to 5%. We know that we have not attained that yet. So my goal is to attain that. I cannot say when, because don't forget, immigration, it is a federal jurisdiction. So we are working. As I said, we do have a wonderful partner in this government, in the federal government, where they are very sensitive to our Francophone population. They understand. And for Ontario, we need the immigration. We need to attract Francophone. It's our strength. It's a strength for us. We believe strongly in this. So, as I said, in 12 months, hopefully we'll have more to say. But in interim, definitely have a lot of recommendation that we're working on to implement.
What's the percentage right now of Francophone immigrants?
I think it's a little bit like 2% in the last year. Since we made that commitment, we were going in the right path in terms of increasing, and then we've seen a little reduction. So it'll be interesting to see the new data for last year and this year.
And have you seen any impact or any change or anything that the Francophone people that have come to Toronto have brought to the city?
I became a politician 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was elected in June of 2014. And I used to go to Toronto for a personal or professional reason in my other professional career before. Actually, I'm pleasantly surprised to see how many individuals speak French. And I go on streets and I hear the Français. So for me, I feel very proud to think and to know that we have access and we can speak French in Toronto. From a provincial standpoint, you can have in certain area, in certain part of Toronto, you can go and get your service in Français. And people seems to be, I meet with a lot of the Francophone community of Toronto. It's thriving. It's a strong community. Yes, a small community in a sense, you know, in the big 13 million. But it's a very strong and very committed community in terms of ensuring that we continue to address the Francophonie issue, that we continue to have a strong school system in French because of the growth. It's just because the growth. There's so much growth.
I went to the Alliance Française's Spadina Theatre in April to see Nappy Tappy Mbira, a traditional Zimbabwean dance group. And though the band itself wasn't French, the crowd was filled with Francophones and Francophiles alike, trying out something new and using music as a way to learn about a new culture. It was there that I met Thierno Soumari, a producer for Batuki Music Society who helped organize the show. Originally from Senegal, he recently moved to Toronto to start a new life.
What is being French in Toronto?
What is being French in Toronto?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good question. And in Africa, especially in Senegal, it's a French colony, but I'm French. But here I met so many French as an African, I met so many African French. I think the French here in Toronto, they are very representative.
Okay.
I just came here recently, like 4 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I have my life here, my wife and my job here. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty good. And I feel myself as a French here in the city. I can talk French all day and I can talk English all day. That means I have a choice to be French what I want. And I have a choice to mix those French and English.
Was there a trouble when you came just like in terms of finding those French spots?
Oh, no. For myself, no. But when I came, I just stayed with my community the first, and the community is the French community. Senegal is French, you know. And after that, those people show me exactly where I can find those French people. And
there's not just like one French community, right? There's so many different ones, kind of like all together, right?
Yeah, I don't know if all the community are together, but what I know is African community are together. We can ask if all the French, like a French Torontois, mm-hmm. or French from Africa, have that same link and they link together. I don't think so. Franco Torontois need to be teach about what is exactly the French. It's not only the color, it's not only the way to live, but it's to were born French. We were born French. I'm African, but I was born French. Mm-hmm. I start French since I was born. You know, I learned it at school. I talk it at home. The community from here should be known. The other French part, that means the African part. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. There are some people that think that being French and from Toronto is like a culture, right?
Yeah. And we are not from Toronto. We came from Toronto, and when since you came here, you start to be Toronto, like that. That means those people who are here should open the door and let us be part on this.
Could you just tell me a bit more about like the French African community in Toronto?
When we came here, is we just bring our culture with us. And our culture is like we live as a family. We are family, we eat as a family, we do everything as a family, you know. From there, we just stay Africans in our life. Wherever we live in the world, we stay African. And African is like we live as a community, eat together, support each other, and all those kind of things. And we stay like that. And does not mean we are not French. French is just the language, mm-hmm. and African is just the culture.
Francophone as the idea isn't one people, right? Yep, it's kind of like everyone.
Yeah, you see that. Mm-hmm. It's like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's it like just with how many English people are in Toronto? Like, is there ever a trouble with making the Francophonie known? Is that?
I'm leaving the boss. I came here. So if I wanted just to talk the French, only French, mm-hmm. I can stay in Quebec or I don't know in those parts. But when I came here, it's very good for me or for everyone to speak those two languages. But doesn't matter if I just speak French or just English. The only thing is how they're going to support me and how I'm going to support them. Mm-hmm. And in the end, we are just human.
So why'd you pick Toronto?
For the language. I didn't speak English before I came here, but now I'm trying. You see that? Yeah, just to learn the language. Before I came here, I was only French, and now I can say I'm bilingual.
Based on what I found, I think Toronto still has some work to do for its French citizens. And some Francophone signage wouldn't hurt now and again, but the communities are there, and they're thriving. And when they work together, the Francophone community as a whole gets bigger and more visible. You just have to know where to look. I'd like to thank CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto, Rendezvous de la Francophonie, and everyone else that helped make this project possible. Intro and background music was Freedom Planet Orchestra by Gorowski, and live music performed by Nappy Tappy Mbira on April 22nd, 2017 at the Spadina Theatre, organized by the Batuki Music Society. I'm Jacob Dubé, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, presented by La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Canadian Heritage, and The Station. To learn more about the RVF series and the National RVF Celebration, and to send us your comments, visit ncra.ca/RVF.